Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. And today is Thursday, April the 6th. It's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are on page 73 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the first paragraph, more than most people, ending with, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. And we'll just be studying that one paragraph only. Today's readers are, okay, I think I have Veronica C. doing the 12 steps and Lori G. doing the 12 traditions. The readers of the text are Jody E., Robin P., and Veronica C. The share ID for Wednesday, April the 5th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,126. That's 20126. And for the Thursday, this morning's meeting, April the 6th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 20,128. That's 20128. Our newcomer greeter is Lois P., and our announcements person is Shelley E. And there's my text. Okay, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Veronica C. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Veronica.
Actually, I think it's Lori G. reading the steps and Veronica doing the traditions.
Well, I had that mixed up. I apologize. Lori G., will you please read the 12 steps? I'm a human being.
I don't think it was your mistake, but anyway, okay. I would love to.
Thank you.
One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you all for doing your service.
Pat. And thank you very much, Lori G., for helping me out. Okay, I will now ask Veronica C. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Veronica.
Yes, good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service and all on the line. Veronica C. from New York. Our common welfare. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsively eating. Each group, number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, and problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Veronica, very much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 73. The first paragraph down begins with "more than most people," and it ends with "but he knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it," and we'll just be discussing that one paragraph only. Jody E. is going to get us started. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Mo, and good morning, everybody. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. More than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. He is very much the actor. To the outer world, he presents his stage character. This is the one he likes his fellows to see. He wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart that he doesn't deserve it. Oh boy. Well, I'm going to start by saying that I think all people, no matter what their current state of disease, addiction, confusion, etc., do deserve basic respect and love and appreciation and acceptance. But certainly when I am in the food, especially, but not only, but especially when I'm in the food, I'm very insecure. I'm extremely insecure because I know that I'm destroying myself. I'm taking myself down. I'm in a downward spiral. So I'm very insecure, even more insecure than when I'm not in the food, which I still am to some degree. So as a compulsive overeater, I do lead a double life. I don't want people to see that I'm insecure. So I try to act like I have it all together. But if I'm in the food, I know that I don't have it all together. And yeah, I want people to think I am an okay person, but I'm really like an actor. I have a personal illustration of this that I'll just mention. Before I got abstinent, thanks to a vision for you, this way, I was still married. But I had 2 years before I separated from my husband. I moved out of the bedroom. And after a while, my husband would not take me out. He would not take me to the movies or to a restaurant. And I complained about that. Why won't you? And he said, because you're not really my wife. But I wanted to go out with him to the movies or to a restaurant. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And I wanted to be seen as a respectable married woman. But I really wasn't. So that's a stark illustration for me of what this paragraph is saying. It's true. To the outer world, I want to present a certain character, but in my heart, I know I don't deserve it. And yet, as I said, I think no matter where we are in life, what we're doing, we still have an inherent worth.
Time.
I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Jody E., for getting us started. I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 73. Begins with more than most people. Ends with, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So what are we today? Thursday. So if you shared Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, you can share today. Or if you share
Raj
Tuesday
G.
or Wednesday, go to the line. Raj G. Gotcha.
Sorry, Mo.
Cheryl S.
That's all right. Cheryl.
Mary Lee in Oregon.
Mary Lee, oh, I got a Cheryl over there. Wait a minute. Who was Cheryl? Cheryl S.
Cheryl
I got
S.
it.
Thank
okay.
you.
And I got Elon
Nitt. Louise. Hannah?
IVS.
Okay, I have. Who was that?
IVS.
Ivy. Okay, I got Ivy S. I got Ross D, Mary Lee R, Cheryl, I don't have your last initial, Elanit, and Ivy S, and I'll take one more.
Luann C.
Luann C. Okay. Everybody else mute your phone except Ross G. And she'll be followed by Mary Lee R. Good morning,
okay.
Ross.
Good morning, Mo, and I was overzealous and stepped on you. So I apologize for that. My name is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in my backyard in Palmdale, California. And I really wanted to share on leading the double life. You know, as a young girl, I grew up in 99% Caucasian white America. And I am a Creole woman. I am mixed races with Black, Indian, and French. I had curly, nappy-ish hair, and all of my classmates had blonde eyes, blonde hair, blue eyes, long. And I got called Brillo pad head, and I got called names. And that told me that there was something wrong with me, that I wasn't okay. I got that message from the kids that I grew up with, and with a lot of racist kids. And throughout my life, I have felt inadequate and substandard to you. And that is bullshit. I am a child of God. I am a beautiful woman. And I have characteristics that are lovely. And I spent 20 years going to college, which I do not regret at all, getting so many degrees so that I could push my feelings away and that I could focus on the books and the study and that I wouldn't have to face myself, my compulsive overeating. Of course, just like you, I ate over all this crap so that I wouldn't feel, you know, I couldn't be you. I couldn't be one race. I couldn't be the other. I was just in between. And it was heck, hell. And anyway, I spent a lot of time trying to better myself by going to school and getting all these degrees and having all these letters before and after my name. And when it comes down to it, my son has moved out. My daughter's moved out. I have one left. I'm still me. I still have to look in the mirror and look at who I am. And without a program and without 10 steps, and without gratitude, I'm right back in the food. So I don't really care if you like me or not. I would like it. I do. I would love to have friends. But, you know, for me to measure my success on what my fellows think of me, whether it's in program or out, I'm doomed to go back to the food, and that will bring me to death. And I don't want to go there. So I love you guys. Thank you for letting me share. I feel passionate about this topic. I pass.
Thank you very much, Roz G. And up next is Mary Lee R., followed by Cheryl, and I'll get your last initial when you share. Good morning, Mary Lee.
Good morning, Mo. This is Mary Lee R. in Eugene, Oregon, recovered just for today. And the last share reminded me that when I was little, I had a massive amount of freckles and red hair, and I was teased with, you know, lots of names, and cow pie was one of them. And I'd forgotten about that. And what I saw and what I heard were two different things growing up. I saw my parents saying one thing and doing another, and it was a dichotomy that stayed with me for a long time. And I was dyslexic, and school was a nightmare. And so I had to go on and get advanced degrees. And so you would think, you know, that I had a brain and that I wasn't a character from The Wizard of Oz. And program, thank you for the gratitude. And I have mirrors in my house. I didn't have mirrors before I got clean and sober and abstinent. And when I look into them, I say, hi, beautiful, or we're going to have a great day. Or once in a while, I'll look into the mirror and I'll say, I'm on to you. And I'm so grateful, and I feel so, so blessed. And I don't like clowns and things like that, but I am just another fellow traveler on the bus with you all, and thank you all for being here and on this journey, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Mary Lee R. Cheryl, followed by Elon It. Cheryl, give me the first initial of your last name, please.
Thank you, Mo. This is Cheryl S., as in Sam, in Nevada. And this is a great paragraph. And that last sentence, he wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. What my experience is on this is, you know, that reputation, that person that I show to the outer world, the scary part is that one part of me believes it. One part of me believes that the person that I'm acting, the character that I'm pretending to be, is who I really am. And there's a lot of ego and pride in that person. And what happens then is when I can't live up to that fake person, then I lie. You know, when I wasn't being perfect in the program, then I would either lie through omission, or if I was asked, you know, are you making your outreach calls, or how's this or how's that, I would lie because I was afraid to have that, the real me exposed. And what's so sad, just terribly sad about that, is that the only person I was hurting was myself. And I was keeping myself from recovery because of that pride and that inability to be honest. And what a waste of time. And, you know, I heard somebody talk one time, it had to do with the fourth step and making an amends to their sponsor because of the lies that they had told, either directly or from omission. And the person said, no, you don't need to make an amends to your sponsor. You didn't hurt your sponsor. You know, the damage that you did was to yourself. And that's just so true. And it's become so clear to me recently that, you know, how important that honesty is. It's the difference between life and death. It's the difference between recovered and not recovered. You know, misery and joy, and how it gets so warped in my head to think that, you know, I had to keep that reputation. I can't even put words to that yet. I hope that as my journey continues, that God will reveal that the true reason why I had to do that. Anyway, that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you for everyone's service, and I pass.
Thank you, Cheryl S. from Nevada. Up next is Elon Nip, followed by Ivy S. Elon Nip, do you have a last initial, first initial of your last name?
I do. My last initial is F for Fred, Elonit S.
Thank you. All right, you're on.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, Mo. It's always lovely to hear your voice. And, you know, I found throughout my experience in program that I always hear exactly what I need to hear at exactly the right time, which because my higher power is so good to me. And I, you know, I'm coming to understand the reason why I have to put down my alcoholic foods is to clear the channel so that the still small voice of God, and I'm borrowing that phrase from religion, is what I need to hear. And I cannot hear that still small voice when I am treating my food as my God. And when I put those foods down, and I hear that still small voice, I still struggle to want to listen to it because I have spent most of my life making human beings my higher power. When I was young, it was my father. When I was at school, it was my friends. Now that I'm in program, it's my sponsor or other fellows who I admire. But the bottom line is, all that noise is drowning out the still small voice of my beloved God. And, you know, that's the bottom line. And as was shared, what I start doing is I start lying by omission because I don't want my sponsor to leave me because my sponsor is my God now. And without my God, what am I going to do? And what I can say is through experience, etc., my higher power is giving me the courage to say and do what I didn't have the courage to say and do, and to hold on to what I know is right for me, even if it isn't right for someone else. after prayer, obviously, you know, not just like, oh, this is what I want to do, so what the hell. Is it still scary? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I still need a lot of practice not making other human beings my higher power. But it's getting that still small voice is becoming clearer and clearer in my head. And I'm so unbelievably grateful for it. Because at the end of the day, you know, God is infallible, and I'm never going to lose out. So that's my time. Thank you so much for letting me share.
And thank you, Ilanit F. from South Africa. Up next is Ivy S. and then Luann C. And after Luann, I'll take another lineup. Good morning, Ivy.
Hi, yes. Ivy, compulsive overeater and bulimic from California. Well, this has been a really great meeting, and I really like this paragraph as well about the alcoholic leading the double life. Just the first thing that pops out to me is, well, obviously as a bulimic, you know, I'm binging and purging while, you know, appearing a quote-unquote normal person, but also, you know, here it talks about the stage character. And so for me, stage character, some of my, you know, what I tried to appear were hardworking, dedicated, you know, good at my job. And then also like kind of like what was shared, I think, at the beginning, kind and loving and patient wife and mother. Also, you know, that I'm in recovery, in another program, that I'm in recovery and that I'm working a rigorous and honest program. But the reality was quite different for me, you know, that I was at work. You know, that was one of the places where I binged and purged. You know, when everyone would leave, I would take out my binge foods and, you know, get at it, you know, for sometimes several hours after my day was over. And at home, I was a screaming lunatic, a rageaholic, and pretty insane. So, you know, that was like what I didn't want anyone to see, and that's why I didn't deserve, you know, the reputation I had. But step five, you know, I had already been working with my sponsor, but, you know, taking someone into that other life, that secret life, was... it was huge for me, you know, and it's only this last time that I've truly done it, when I've let somebody just kind of see all of it and, you know, breaking that barrier, so to speak, for the first time was so freeing, you know, for me. I had a lot of shame and blame and remorse coming into program and, you know, truly, you know, like taking off that mask and seeing, and, you know, we had already been talking, but, you know, just the power of the steps, the 12 steps, and the power of the fifth step. You know, I submit to the process, and it changes me, you know, one day at a time. And, you know, and today I have to remember to stay honest. You know, that's probably one of my biggest challenges, is staying honest in all areas of my life and not being a secret, because when I am a secret, then I return to that double life. So I'm really grateful to be here and able to share. So that's all I have. Thank you for listening. I pass.
And thank you, IVS. And before we take Luann C., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 73, the first paragraph, and it begins with "more than most people," and it ends with "but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it." And after Luann, I will take another lineup. Good morning, Luann.
Hi, Mo. Thank you for let me share. I'm Luann. I'm a compulsive overeater in Boise, Idaho. And I just have been lifted up all week by these shares because, of course, yesterday I had to do my fifth step. And, you know, all the shares and all the readings are like, do it, be brave, be fearless, you know. But, of course, I had that thing that I didn't want to say in my fifth step. And the problem was I couldn't find the words. You know, to wrap around this thing, to get it from the pit through my throat and out into the world. because I had a sponsor telling me that I was doing great work, and you know, I didn't want to be the bad person, you know. But the miracle was she gave me the words, and it was so weird, and I just grabbed them, and I just made a break for it. And of course, everything turned out great, and I'm in a better place today. But the thing was that I was left with was I finally could feel that my higher power actually cared for me, and that my higher power saw my predicament that I was in, that if I didn't make a break, if I didn't break this chain, I was going to be in bondage till the next fourth step. And I don't know when that's going to be. I'm 70. I don't know how many more I have in me. So it was such a miracle, and I wish I had better words than, you know, gratitude and being grateful, but I don't. But I do want to thank the kind person yesterday before my fifth step who helped me relax so that I didn't see what was coming, really, and to my sponsor who opened the gate. So I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Luann C. from Idaho. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Liz A.
Sherry, North Carolina. Carolina.
Sherry,
Deborah
and Liz A. Sherry.
Yes.
Mike S.
We got it. Who's next?
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
Fran R.
Lori R. I'll pick one more.
Lori G.
Was that Lori?
Yes.
Lori G. Okay,
yes.
Got it. That's it.
Thank you.
I have Liz A., Sherry. I didn't get your last initial. Deborah G., Jordan L., Fran R. Can't read my writing. Lori G. All right, everyone else, mute your phone, please, and we will start with Liz A. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. God, who knew this little small paragraph could be so powerful? You know, I grew up being told that mediocrity was a dirty word. I had to be better than others. I had to be perfect. And I mean, that was just the law that was written, put down by my father in our household. And I always felt like a loser because I had no willpower. Rather than powerlessness, I felt like I had no willpower. I am still undisciplined. And I wanted to appear perfect to others. And my first tool that I used was bulimia. I mean, that is such a perfect example. You know, the reality is I was this compulsive overeater who could look like I weighed 300 pounds, but I was throwing up so that I could look perfectly thin. I mean, talk about, you know, dual personality. And, you know, when I did gain weight, I just wouldn't show up. I would call in fat, you know, I just wouldn't show up for life. I had so much shame. That's the word, shame. And my self-esteem was, and to a certain extent still is, based on external standards, not my inner worth as a part of God. And, you know, I'm relatively new in this program, and I am trying to grow my spiritual connection with God so that I am aware that I am a part of God, and it doesn't matter who thinks what of me or what my body, my externals look like. You know, as long as I have this connection to God and I'm abstinent and have a clear channel, then all is well, you know. But wow, I love the shares, and this paragraph just blew me away. And thank you for letting me share. Thanks.
And thank you very much, Liz A. from California. Up next is Sherry, followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Sherry. Can I have your last initial and the state you're calling from?
Yeah, Sherry S., as in Sam. I'm from North Carolina, grateful to be covered, compulsive overeater. This is my first time sharing on this meeting. It's very good to be here. Thank everyone for their service. This is an amazing paragraph because it says to the outer world, he presents his stage character. I, for the majority of my growing up years, for 40 years, I did entertaining with just me and my guitar for different organizations and nursing homes and such. And every time I was on and singing and I was hiding behind my guitar, things were great. And people loved what I did and they gave me compliments and they asked me back. And as soon as I walked away and took the guitar off, I was, you know, did I deserve this? I didn't feel like I was good. And I degraded myself and I hid until the next program. And, you know, I did feel I didn't deserve it, you know, even though people kept calling me. And, you know, now I don't do that anymore. And I'm having to learn who I am and to love myself for who I am and realizing that people like me and, you know, for myself as a person. And, you know, program has definitely helped me through this. And anyway, I appreciate everyone listening and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Sherry S. from North Carolina. Deborah G. followed by Jordan L. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo, and good morning, everyone. And thank you all for making this meeting possible. Thank you, Mo, for chairing. And all your shares, 12-step in me today. Oh, it's been lovely. And welcome, welcome to the newcomer. I'm so glad that you're here. And, yeah, I grew up in an alcoholic domestic violence home, and just so much was being projected out. And I took it on, you know, all those distorted beliefs and perspectives and really believing it and didn't know, you know, I was just little. I didn't know what else to, and, you know, I gave my parents a lot of power and carried that on for years and years with all my addictions, trying to comfort that, give ease and comfort to those feelings, and became a real passive introvert, quiet child, you know, and, you know, it took years and years of doing the food and trying to do something with that until finally I did get help. And, you know, I learned about that, those feelings of I'm not good enough, you know, and the shame, you know, that I'm wrong. Something's wrong with me. I'm defective. I learned shame is all about lies. It's not about the reality of truth. And then the guilt stuff. And, you know, and even today that can crop up. And you know what I found? I would try to compensate by looking good, you know, the perfectionism and talking good and even program. I have a good program. And then I recently learned in a workshop that I did doing my fourth step that I need to be real and humble and helpful because I was still doing that, you know, quoting the big book and just, you know, like being this person that is a raw enlightened, enlightened from the big book. And I'm not, I'm continually learning and experiencing and more stuff comes up. And anyways, I'm just so grateful that I have that awareness today and thank all of you. Have a beautiful, blessed day.
And thank you, Deborah G. Up next is Jordan L., followed by Fran R. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Mel. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. And I got to tell you, you guys got me in tears this morning. I'm very grateful to be a part of this group as well this morning. I am most mornings, but I think especially this morning. I am a real compulsive overeater, like real compulsive overeater, hopeless variety. And I'm very grateful for this group in particular because of the willingness to go to like that super like super uber duper real raw place in order to recover from this disease. It became really clear to me early on in abstinence that nothing less was going to suffice. That if I was going to stay abstinent, and it's now been years, like 5 years continuous back-to-back abstinence, no breaks, no holidays, no weekends off, like real, true, freeing abstinence. That I was really gonna have to be honest, you know? And it's crazy because it's like the kind of honesty, like someone shared earlier, it gets revealed to you. Like sometimes it's about the secrets I'm keeping, but it's been revealed to me, like dishonesty that I couldn't even see for myself in this program. And this paragraph talks about the actor, which kind of refers back to how it works, where it's talking about the actor and trying to make these arrangements. Our actor may sometimes be quite virtuous. He may be kind, considerate, patient, generous, even modest and self-sacrificing. And a lot of people on this line share about relating to that actor. On the other hand, he may be mean, egotistical, selfish, and dishonest. For me, I relate much more so to that actor. I put on a front that I was mean, egotistical, selfish, dishonest. I was looking out for me and me only. Screw you. I'm self-reliant. I can handle it all on my own. I don't need you. And like what was revealed to me in this program is that is not true. That is the reputation that I want to try to enjoy. And the fact of the matter is I am not that person. I'm actually quite vulnerable, and I need other compulsive overeaters in my life to kind of like reveal that soft, heartfelt side of me. And so I'm very grateful to be a part of this group again. I'll pass.
Thank you, Jordan L. We have two more shares, Fran R. and Lori G. If you each take 2 minutes, I can fit you both in. So, Fran, you're first. Good morning, Fran.
Good morning. I'm Fran R. from California, and today is my 14th day of back-to-back abstinence. I am returning to the program. I was very active in CEA How for many years, and I was successful, but I didn't really work the program as the program is designed. I used it as an accountability diet. But I had a sponsor, and I had a lot of friends, and made outreach calls and meetings and whatnot. But I wasn't working the program because I didn't know any better. That's how a lot of us did it then. And but 20-plus years ago, we had a very, very tragic death in our family of my young nephew at age 21. And I lost all faith in God. I was mad at God, and I was raised in religious background. And so I have been hiding out and saying to myself, I don't deserve it. I don't believe in God, and so I have been out there very, very sick, mentally and physically. But I'm back, and I'm grateful. And I love these meetings. I love every share. And I appreciate all of you. And with that, I pass.
And thank you very much, Fran R. And Lori G., you will take us out. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning. Thank you, Mo, for leading, and thank you, everyone. I'm Lori G. in Colorado, recovered, and so grateful. I just relate so much to every share, and I have to share this. I was supposed to read the steps this morning, and I told my husband that it should be an easy thing to do unless my phone won't cooperate. And sure enough, it wouldn't. And I don't know if it was the phone or the, I don't know, the little demons out there that plague me sometimes and whatever. But I was able to get on just in time, which I did. I asked God, please help me to do this if you want me to do it. And apparently he wanted me to do it. And I said that I was, what am I trying to say? Mo had said someone else was going to do the steps and I was going to do the traditions. And I said, I don't think it was her fault for getting them switched. And I didn't mean that somebody else was at fault. I just meant that this is life happening and I'm learning how to adapt to that. That, you know, when things happen, it's not necessarily anybody's fault, but I grew up feeling like I was not enough, and I related to the person who said wild red hair and lots of freckles. That's me too. I never felt like I fit in, and I wanted people to think that I was okay and good and smart and whatever, and inside I was just a mess. And so I'm today feel so grateful and peaceful and because of this program and God and all of you and just want to say thank you. So thank you everyone who puts this meeting together every day and for everyone who shares. And I think with that I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lori G. Okay, we will now close with, thank you all for your shares. Yes, I loved it. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Robin P. from Costa Rica to read A Vision for You.
Thanks so much, Mo.
Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Thank you. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got.
Robin, you got kicked off. Did somebody pick up where she left off? Or I can. Oh, Robin, sorry about that. Something's going on with our line this morning. I got it. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little.
Oh, my gosh, I'm God back will... on. Sorry. Do you want me to finish?
All right. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Amen.